Well, on today's edition of the program, I want to ask some questions you're really not supposed to be asking. And maybe we're going to ask why you're not supposed to ask.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Wednesday edition of Truth to Ponder, and I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Want to share some things today. Been collecting a few stories and some statistics and numbers, and they raise some pretty important questions that I really believe deserve an honest answer. Now, whether we can ever get an honest answer in today's world is, you know, remains to be seen, but I think the questions need to be asked. We assume a lot of things are just normal. A lot of things have always been this way, haven't they, Bob? I mean, it's nothing new under the sun, is there? Well, maybe there is in this case. I want to share those statistics and some numbers in a minute. I realize that on Monday and Tuesday's program, I was going to mention something and I forgot all about it. Had my notes, and both days I never got that far down in the stack of notes to remind myself, to remind you. This past Sunday was the little church where I'm the pastor. We celebrated our first anniversary. Now, when I say we're a small church, I mean we are a small church. The building can only seat not that many. And building a church today is not an easy endeavor. I mean, there are people that have their churches and they're happy with, and I don't want to move people from one church to another unnecessarily. If somebody's in a church they know they need to leave because of good, solid scriptural reasons, that's a different story. We've talked about that on this program before. There are some church denominations that now reject the teachings of the Bible, and as a result, they are really enemies of the cross. And if you're in one of those churches, yeah, I would say get out. The Bible demands that you do not fellowship with darkness. And if your church is now suddenly same-sex marriage affirming and everything's about social justice and not about the work on the cross and obedience to what God has asked his children to do, then you're in the wrong church. We'll talk about that maybe before the end of today's program if we have time. But this past Sunday, we had our first anniversary, and we had a pretty good crowd, great music, and I had a hard time sleeping Saturday night. I knew I had people coming in. I had other people taking care of food and things I didn't have to touch for the first time. And you're kind of like a nervous parent when you are trusting everybody to do their part for something pretty big. And it came together wonderfully, and I couldn't be happier. And there was a bunch of people that came, and they're all looking for a church. And maybe they found it. My prayer is if they did, let me know, and I can't wait to have you on board. I will say this much, then I'm going to get back to the topic at hand. The little church where I pastor, we're not a non-denominational church, and we are not a denominational church. I've never been comfortable with the term non-denominational for one reason. It implies, what do you believe? That it could be all over the road. And I've seen some churches that call themselves non-denominational. Some are pretty big and on TV. And a lot of what they teach is pure heresy and just non-scriptural nonsense. And so when you're I'm always cautious with that term, because is your belief system what the preacher believes or claims we're going to believe today? Or what is your basis? You can say the Bible, but even that can open up for some discussion. I chose with this little church to be what I call interdenominational. Let me explain what I mean by interdenominational. Let's go back 30, 40, 50 years before many church bodies went pretty strange. If you were to take Bible-believing church bodies, some even in the mainstream, some not so much in the mainstream, what did they all agree upon in what they teach and preach and practice? What are the things that all Christians can wrap their mind around? and together share in the faith. And the Lord just laid on my heart when I started this church to be a small community church. And I never knew some of the doors God was going to be opening for this little church. If we didn't have it, there's a great opportunity that would have been missed. This little church is going to own a radio station here in Southwest Virginia. Not a very powerful one. It'll be on FM. Fully licensed by the Federal Communications Commission. And the call letters WMYC, My Christian Radio, will be building it this summer. In fact, there may be a trip this week for me to look at a tower that is on the ground that may just suit our purpose. So pray that all of that will come together. We're kind of excited about the prospects. And so this little church, we just gather together as simple Christians and do the things that Christians have always done and believed. I don't worry about certain denominational practices that are unique to that denomination. That's not what we need to worry about. I want to preach Jesus crucified, resurrected, and the fact that his work on the cross and believing upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's where I'm at. And you can we'll share more about the church later this week and even the message I shared with the congregation on Friday. Well, let me get to one of the things that I ran into that really bothered me. Somebody shared what is called an increase in some of these diseases and disorders that we just take for granted today. They're out there. And these are a change or increase since basically 1990. Now, this was a couple of years ago, these statistics, but they're probably the same, if not worse, today. Some of these I can kind of answer. Some of them I can't. Maybe a lot of these are related. The diagnosis of ADHD. ADHD. A lot of kids are diagnosed with ADHD. And they need Ritalin or whatever the drug of the day to keep them calm and whatever in school. There has been an 819% increase. Not an 8%, not an 80%, an 800% increase. In other words, eight times. Is it better diagnosis, or is it that we push the drugs harder to get the diagnosis? Alzheimer's has risen almost 300% since 1990. Autism. Now, this is the next ones are really going to be frightening. Autism. Autism diagnoses are up 2,000 plus percent. 2,000% since 1990. Then another one that's really scary. Bipolar disease in youth up 10,000, almost 11,000%. 11,000%. It used to be that bipolar disease was very rare, but now it seems to be increasingly common. Chronic fatigue syndrome, up about 11,000%. Not 11%, not 100%, 11,000%. Depression, 280%. Diabetes, 300%. Fibromyalgia is up 7,000%. Sleep apnea, osteoporosis, all those are up 400-500%. Why has this happened? And this is a legitimate question. Some may say, well, it's just, you know, different diagnosing. I really don't think so. We were fully aware about ADHD in 1990. And we understood in medicine and in psychiatry bipolar disease. And we understood chronic fatigue. And it's something that even I understand. Because there are times that I feel it. Of course, yeah, I know I'm older. I get that. But I look at my parents and grandparents, and they never seem to be as, shall we say, fatigued as we are today. And so I have to ask myself, why this massive increase in these numbers in these particular things? How can this possibly be? Now, some of it I really believe, especially when it comes to things like diabetes and even heart diseases and what have you. I think a lot of it has to do with our diet today compared to 1990. You know, in 1990, I was working at Toccoa Falls College in Northeast Georgia. It was a very rare thing for me to eat any kind of fast food. That was like a once a month treat, maybe. I just didn't like it. And if I ate, I ate at the school's cafeteria, which actually had pretty decent food back in those days. People that actually made food from scratch. Real vegetables bought, you know, by this and cooked. I mean, not as much canned stuff as you would expect. Not as much processed food. And in 1990, yeah, microwave ovens had become very part of our existence pretty quick. In the 1980s, microwaves moved in. But I didn't really eat much microwaved food. I really didn't. I mean, we had a microwave for years. Yeah, starting in about the mid-1980s, didn't have one in the 70s. It was probably around late 80s when I finally got one that I liked. But we didn't use it much. And I didn't buy a lot of TV dinners and pre-processed, pre-packaged food, just dump it in the microwave and seconds later you're eating this garbage. And I really believe that has had a lot to do. Look, I look at the foods today. I was reading an article from one of my trusted sources saying, you realize that so many of the nutrients that used to be in the soil are gone because of the way we farm. Industrialized farming, you have vegetables, you have things that we eat that don't have anywhere near the nutritious content of 25, 30, and 40 years ago. Maybe that is why we have chronic fatigue. We're not getting the kind of fuel for our bodies we need. Maybe young people eating junk food in higher levels than ever before. Maybe this explains some of the bipolar and maybe some of the autism and obesity. That's another thing. Look, I look at myself. I've gained weight, pretty good amount of it. Now, some of it is because of these past 4 years, you know, being on, quote, lockdown. You couldn't do much. And then I've been dealing with the bladder cancer, so I'm not as physically active. I kind of basically pilot a desk instead of being on my feet like I used to be. And so I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. But I've been trying to take stock on the way that we eat. And sometimes, and I'll tell you, since the pandemic, I realize when you're honest with yourself, how many of us have fallen into what I call the comfort food routine? I know a lot of people that have. And I'm sure that all of this comes to bear. And a lot of it, when you're depressed, when you look at this economy, and I know people say, well, Bob, the economy's just roaring. It's just booming. No, it is not. We're just barely getting back to where it was about 4.5, 5 years ago, before the pandemic destroyed businesses and savings and people lost their homes and their cars, all because of lockdowns that were unnecessary, all for politics, all for power. Yeah, all in the name of science. Yeah, really. Mr. Science himself, Fauci. We went through a lot. And those are the kind of questions that need to be raised. Why? So why did we do the things that we did? And I don't want to hear this. Well, we all made mistakes. We didn't know. You knew a lot more than you wanted to admit. And when you were challenged, you would shut us down. You would scream to Facebook, shut that guy down. You would scream to YouTube, Mr. Government People. Misgovernment people, transgender government people, whatever. You would scream to Facebook and everybody, ooh, take that down. It's misinformation. And the thing is, it was true. How many people that were telling the truth had their lives destroyed by government cockroaches like Fauci and company, all in the name of fake, you know, science? It was all political science. It had nothing to do with any real science. I remember the arrogance of that man when he made the statement. He said, when you're questioning me, I represent science. So when you're questioning me, you're questioning science. No, I'm questioning a liar. I am questioning a person that lied before the Congress, lied before the American people, and knew you lied when you did it, And I want to know why. And I want to know when our government is going to do something about it. I think that's a legitimate question. Don't you? And I want to know why these diseases have just skyrocketed in just basically 34 years. In basically half of my lifetime. Diseases that were almost unheard of in the 1960s and in 1975. You didn't hear about this. But in 15 years, they started to show up. And then these massive increases. And I really believe it's the food, it's the depression. And I'll give you something else that I think has a lot to do with it. And I've got to be, and look, I'm bad about this myself, I have to confess. Because of what I do in preparing this radio program, I spend a pretty significant amount of time reading news and taking in news. I do. And I'm sure that it is not healthy to constantly being beaten up with the 24/7 news cycles. I can remember it was around in the early 80s, you know, 1980-ish, when CNN came along. But, you know, it didn't have that big of an audience to start with. But over time, all the competition, the 24/7 news, local news channels developing in many markets, and news radio and then talk radio. I'm not saying they're all bad, but how much can you live with? And I was thinking to myself the other day, 1977. And, you know, I was having a fun time being a radio disc jockey, playing the hits in a small town, small to medium town. Made a pretty decent living because I was selling advertising, doing some engineering work, and doing a morning radio program. Kind of, you know, I was young. It was fun. But, you know, I can remember getting up and going to work and just enjoying what I did. And I wasn't listening to a whole lot of news, just a little bit here and there. Sometimes, not every night, sometimes I might watch the nightly news. It was a 30-minute broadcast locally and nationally, with commercials really only about 35 minutes combined. And it wasn't a big part of my life. I was more concerned with the day-to-day things that I had to do and, you know, time with my wife and my family. I mean, those were the things that were important to me. And I really enjoyed what I did. I had great health. I didn't have high blood pressure. I didn't have any kind of diabetes. I didn't have any fatigue. I didn't have any of that stuff. And by the way, we ate real food. I mean, it was really rare that we'd ever go to a restaurant, really very rare for a fast food place. Had to be traveling, which maybe once or twice a year. But for us, basically, went to the grocery store, made everything from scratch. And the food was better quality. Did a lot of local shopping with local farmers when I could. Bought a lot of local canned goods that we could keep and use during the wintertime. And I can remember back in those days, I was lean, I was healthy, I slept well, I felt great, and I wasn't depressed, I wasn't fatigued, didn't feel anger, didn't have any sleeping issues. I'd go to bed at night, and man, I was out like a light for the next 7 to 8 hours. And I mean, that's the next thing I remember. I'm up in the morning, maybe dreaming, that's about it. Like you're supposed to do. Today, now granted, in my case, I get up a lot in the night, but before I ever had this bladder cancer, which does wake me up periodically in the nighttime, and that'll get better. But even before that, I started waking up in the night and I couldn't get back to sleep. I didn't have to get up, but I was just awake. And the mind becomes very busy. And you have to wonder, why is my mind so busy? I think it's the kind of world that we're living in today. And I think it's a combination of lousy food, too many pharmaceuticals. And I'll say it again, lousy food, too much processed food, too much good stuff taken out of food, junk in the food, microwaved food. You know, the list goes on. You know, they say you are what you eat. And I'm sure that a lot of these empty calories haven't really done me well over these years. I've got a lot of weight I need to lose, to be quite blunt. And I plan on it. I truly do. As we are recuperating from this health thing that I'm dealing with, you know, we're beginning to think, you know, time to walk, look carefully at labels, buy things from local gardens when you can. You are what you eat. Look into some supplements that actually might make sense. You know, I don't know. I mean, this is all new territory for me. But these are questions that need to be asked. We have so many drugs out there today and so many people that are dependent upon those drugs. And I was reading an article also about Mike Yeardon. He used to work in the pharmaceutical industry for Pfizer, and now he's kind of like, I don't trust much of anything these people put out anymore. Look at the list of how it's going to kill you before it helps you. Makes you wonder. And then you realize that the Food and Drug Administration is funded by the very companies that they regulate. And you have to wonder, how honest is their assessment in an environment like that, where the ability to, shall we say, cheat is just way too high? And I've got a couple of other questions that have come to mind, and I'll probably spend time with this more tomorrow than today. I was thinking, growing up, how many times did you ever hear that we didn't have enough electricity, that you got a cutback? It was really rare. Maybe occasionally in a few places, I saw it maybe in the summertime in a big city. But it's more and more commonplace today that, you know, we have to cut back on electricity. Yet we keep trying to plug more stuff into the grid. My grandparents had a house in a town called Port Washington, New York, on Long Island. They built their house in 1960, gas heat, I might add. And that house stayed toasty warm all winter. And it just was a wonderful environment. And the power just seemed to never go off. I think there was a couple of blizzards where it did, and that's about it. It seems there are more power outages, more crises with this grid than ever before, and I have to ask myself why. And then you have all these companies spending a lot of money building these wind turbines and solar panel fields. And this is all in the name of climate change and global warming. Well, I got news for you. You put a bunch of black solar panels near the ground over hundreds, if not thousands, of acres of land, those black solar panels are going to be emitting an enormous amount of heat. And I thought we're trying to stop warming, but that's what they're going to do. I saw a story from the state of Virginia, Virginia Beach area, and there's some issues. There's a wind turbine project off the coast. And Dominion Energy is the one that's developing 176 turbines out off the coast of a vacation community. Besides being an ugly eyesore, it's interfering with their lives. These things are vibrating and causing people's homes nearby to be shaking. It wasn't the noise, it's the shaking. You think it was an earthquake. And you can look out and you can see the lights and they're working on it. You know, between noise and vibration and life expectancy, and I have to wonder, what is the real return on investment with wind and solar? I mean, they have a use, don't get me wrong. But we're becoming too dependent on technology we just haven't really had the time to get accustomed to. And now they want us to go to electric cars on a power grid that just can't keep up. Only in California. Everybody must have an electric car, but you can't charge them tonight because there's not enough electricity. Places like Long Island in New York had built a nuclear power plant, and they never got to use it, called Shoreham, because government politicians decided they didn't like it. You know, we have lots of ways of making energy, but they keep shutting down the ones that work. Clean coal, nuclear power plants, they don't want them. Natural gas, they don't want them. They want us dependent upon things that are not reliable. And I believe there's a purpose, and we'll get into that this week. I'm going to be looking at some of these stories about climate change, or climate fraud, as I call it. There's a lot that needs to be said, and the rising oceans. And look, weather is cyclical. I know it. It has been. There have been, and they talk about CO2, and I got news for you. There were times 600, 700, 800 years ago, it was vastly higher than today. It doesn't warm the earth. That's a big fat lie. There's a lot out there. We're being lied to, and then we're being drugged. And I want to wonder, I wonder why in certain states it's getting hard to get water to grow crops. Do they want to starve us too? I'm beginning to wonder. What is the real plan going forward? I believe big corporations trying to take over the big ag, agriculture, big pharmaceuticals. And they have the globalists that have pretty much come out and said, you know, and I shared a little bit the other day, one of these guys from the World Economic Forum saying, this planet can only support 1 billion people, not 7 or 8 billion. I remember the Georgia Guidestone said, oh, we can only support 500 million. The Georgia Guidestones mean, you know, 12 of every 13 people on the planet must die. At least with the World Economic Forum, it's only 6 out of 7 must die. And they're hoping to do it gradually. Maybe by having us die sooner, you know, people my age, instead of living to be 80 or 85, they want us gone in our 70s. They want people to live shorter lives. They want people not to reproduce. The vaccine did that for a lot of women. We now know that for a fact. What is the end game? And we'll talk about that a little bit later this week. If you believe in our mission and our ministry here at Truth to Ponder, we really could use your help staying on shortwave radio. We're on WRMI and WTWW. Most people that listen as a podcast found us first on shortwave. I don't charge for my time, and there's no staff to pay either. But we do have to pay the shortwave airtime bill. If you can help us, would you please consider making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. I'll give that address in just a few minutes from now. Or you can visit our website, learn more about the program, at truth2ponder.com. Truth, that numeral 2ponder.com. You can find out how to hear us, where to hear us, and even how to support us. And with that, we'll be right back after this break.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Pentecost and Parasha Bamidbar. Coming up, Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving some special free gifts you're really going to love in a moment. All right, you got to concentrate. It's heavy here. Okay, you got to focus. Most believers don't realize that the Jewish people celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost is actually a Jewish holiday called Shavuot. And when they celebrate Shavuot or Pentecost in the synagogues, they read a special section of scripture called Parasha Bamidbar, which is all about, in the book of Numbers, how God is about to send the camp of Israel forth to move forward in the wilderness. Well, it's amazing because Pentecost is linked to this mystery of moving forward, sending the whole camp forward. Well, when the day of Pentecost came and the Spirit came upon the disciples, what happened? He sent forth the church as a camp to move forth all over the world. And at the same time in history, the Jewish people were sent forth. Israel was sent forth like a camp all over the world. It was scattered all over the world. And the church and Israel are bound together in a mystic union. As the one goes forth, the other goes forth. As the Jewish people go forth from Israel to the nations and are wandering, so the church has gone forth spreading the gospel, wandering the nations. And so therefore, if the Jewish people are now turning back to Israel and being gathered back home, what does it mean? It means the church is going to turn back. It's going to be a time of homecoming. It turn its eyes back to Jerusalem, back to its Jewish roots, and back to the coming of Messiah. You see, what does it mean? We're all linked together. The fullness of the Gentiles will bring the fullness of the Jewish people, and the redemption of the Jewish people will bring blessings to the world. If you're a born-again believer, rejoice that you're living in this day, because the Bible says you are also a citizen of Israel in the spirit. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the redemption of Israel, and go forth and spread the gospel, because your eyes are to be lifted up because your redemption draws near. Want more? Ask for the Parasha Mystery on CD. You can get the whole teaching. Now, how do you like to receive special daily meditations and teachings with the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus to give you victory for every day of your week? And updates on Israel, prophecy, world events? Well, you get it in Sapphires, plus the incredible Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD. You're going to love it. How do you get all this? Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and you dial it. That's it. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now for your free gifts. 1-800-YESHUA, YESHUA, and the number 1. I invite you to join me in getting the word of God around the world in the most incredible way possible, and also to the Jewish people. On Shortwave Radio, it's amazing. You can blanket the earth. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct. Just write to the nice Jewish boy at Box 1111 in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. It's Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah HaDerech, the way.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our Wednesday edition of Truth to Ponder, and I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Today, just kind of asking some questions, looking for some answers. There are a lot of things that have changed so much, and we take it for granted. And I mentioned at the beginning of the program, these things that it's hard to believe what we are seeing happen before our very eyes. We never talked about transgenderism 10, 15 years ago. 20 years ago, the idea of same-sex marriage was not on the table. The idea of changing a child's gender at a very young age, preteen, was unheard of. When did all this nonsense and madness come into play? And why is one political party so determined to make sure abortion is their number one issue? That's Moloch worship. This is recycled paganism, if you hadn't figured it out. I mentioned I would give that mailing address and website address again. And for those that didn't have a chance, it is Ancient Word Radio. You make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. One more time, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia. Zip code in Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. You know, I was thinking the other day, I was looking at someone's posting, and they were talking about some things regarding Christianity in their church. I mean, it was their posting. It's not like they were butting into somebody else's conversation. And one of the things that amazed me is a couple of people, because they had this as a public posting, a couple of people that were atheists just could not wait to jump on board and start saying, "There, you and your sky fairy, this and that." They can't. What possesses those that are atheists to think they have to jump in and scream, holler, and cry and get really bent out of shape if somebody mentions anything about God? And why do pro-abortion people want to shut down any conversation that human life begins at conception? And why is it that it's the left that seems to have gravitated to it? I once heard the term that leftism is really a mental disorder. Jim Calhoun is going to help me on the program today. And Jim, you have a story to share.
Thanks, Bob. And once again, it's great to be back on Truth to Ponder. Well, today I'm going to be talking about something that happened to me today. And it's not too earth-shattering today, just some observations. Today I had to go in and buy some oil for my tractor. And I didn't want to drive to my normal spot where I buy oil. I went to one of these dollar stores because the field I was doing was only half a mile from a dollar store. And I thought that would be a really good time to get in and get out real quick with my oil so I could get back to work. Well, when I got to the parking lot, I saw a car, it was an SUV, that had so many bumper stickers all over the bumper and the rear panel and the back window and just everywhere you could stick a sticker. There were so many that this person started putting stickers on the side of the car. So 30 or 40 bumper stickers minimum. And every one of the bumper stickers was anti-God, pro-evolution. There were Joe Biden and Kamala Harris stickers all over the back. All sorts of bumper stickers that would offend Christians. So it was very obvious that this person is not saved and does not want to be saved. I knew it was someone that worshipped his father, Satan, by some of the bumper stickers this person had. After reading most of the bumper stickers, I just shook my head and went in because I had to get back to work, so I couldn't stand out there reading all these bumper stickers. But I remember what the great Rush Limbaugh used to say about liberals. He said they were the most unhappy people that he'd ever seen. It was impossible to make them happy. They were just totally, absolutely unhappy all the time. And I don't know about you, but I sure do miss Rush Limbaugh. And one of the things I miss about him was his ability to find humor in everything. And so with Rush Limbaugh in mind, I thought, I'm going to go in here and try to guess which customer owns that car. And there was about 10 customers in there. It's not a very big store. And the two girls behind the counter immediately were candidates because one of them was transgender of some sort, who knows what. And there is a young woman that works there that has some sort of a beard that has been surgically installed on her face. And she talks like a girl. She walks like a girl. She has the facial features of a girl, but yet she's had surgery to put some of the ugliest facial hair you've ever seen. And when she talks, she tries to make her voice sound husky. And this person probably is on all sorts of hormones too, but it's just ridiculous. So this whole store is woke. So I thought, well, that's easy. We have the girl with the beard running around the store. We have two cashiers. One of them, the left half of her hair, as it's parted in the center, was some really off-color blue. And on the other half was an off-color pink. And it was not a very good dye job. It was very ugly. And the makeup that this person was wearing was just over-the-top bad. But it was the, I don't know if you call them studs. They're like the studded earrings with a little ball on it. Only this person, I don't know if it was a male or female. It was another transgender, I imagine. Had 12 of these pushed through their lip. And so when they were looking at you, it looked like, for lack of a better description, it looked like skeleton teeth. These were pretty large chrome balls that had a pin welded on the back, and it was stuck through their lips. So I don't know who could stand to have that, but I looked at this person and thought, well, of course it could be her car or his car or whatever it is. And the other one behind the cash register was obviously a girl that was trying to be, I guess the term is butch. She had a military short haircut and she was dressed in men's clothes and short and stocky, and she seemed to have the little man syndrome pretty bad. And so there are three females in that store that are confused, that think they're males, apparently. Who knows? Anyway, it could have easily been any of those three. But the car was not parked in the right spot where the employees park. And so I thought, no, it's got to be one of these other customers. And I looked around, and all of them seemed to be normal. And I thought, this person obviously has a problem to put that many bumper stickers that are hateful on the back of a car. And then one of the men got up to the line, started paying for his items, and someone hollered out at him and said, hey, good luck tonight. And the guy turned around and said, what do you mean, good luck? What are you talking to me for? And I thought, there he is, found him. And the guy said, well, aren't you playing softball tonight?
He goes, oh, yeah, I guess.
And then he grumbled something, and he grabbed his bag after he paid for it, and he stormed out. This guy just wished him good luck, and it seemed to have really angered this man really hard, really triggered him. I thought, okay, I'm going to sit here and watch. I bet you he goes to that car. Sure enough, he went right to the car and got in and sped off madder than heck. And I thought, you know, Rush was always right when he talked about things like that. It seems like the people who are on the left are the most sour, miserable people in the whole world. And I wanted to tell him that he might find some joy if he would find the Lord, but he was so mad and he stormed out of there, I didn't have a chance, and he probably wouldn't have accepted it anyway. But I'm sure you all know the type I'm talking about. And I really do think that there's so much truth to what Rush was saying about the anger that the left has. And they show it every day with their kangaroo courts and their bought-off judges and their corruption. Look at how angry Joe Biden is. He's just an angry old curmudgeon. And I think he's a pedophile. I think that he molested his own children. I think the man is totally evil, and he's been corrupt ever since he started in politics. He's probably corrupt from the time he could walk. That just is second nature to that whole family. It's just corruption. And so we have all these angry people that are on the left, and like Scott Ritter, who is an American citizen and has served our country, and also Judge Napolitano that is on Fox News once in a while. I don't watch him, but I know who he is. They were both on an airplane going to fly to Russia for some conference. And I don't know if they took Napolitano's passport, but they made them get off the plane. And they took away Scott Ritter's passport and did not give it back. So in other words, the dictator that we have in the White House has spoken. And now you can have your passport revoked for no reason at all. And I find that that is another scary addition to where our country is headed. If that would have been Dr. Fauci or John Kerry or someone like that, there would have been no questions asked. But since these people are critical of the current occupant in the White House, well, that makes them enemies. And I remember Richard Nixon was known for having a list of his enemies. And they said how mean and spiteful the man was, and he might have been. But Joe Biden is so much more of anything that Richard Nixon could have ever been. You say, yeah, well, Richard Nixon was a crook. And you don't think the big guy is not a crook? I'm going to tell you something. If you want to call Richard Nixon a crook, then you have to call the entire Biden family master criminals, because they are true criminals. But it's funny how the left can set a narrative, and it lasts for generations, and that Richard Nixon was a horrible person and had a list of people he hated, and so forth and so on. But Joe Biden's just, oh, Uncle Joe, he's the big guy. Joe Biden's a traitor, and he's definitely a discredit to humanity. Matter of fact, I would call him a stain on humanity. I think that's probably a nice way to put it. And all the minions that are willing to do his bidding, I wonder if these people that are trampling on Scott Ritter's rights and other people's rights, whether they stop to consider that they're going to be next. Well, I doubt very much that they do stop and consider that. They probably think that they're untouchable, just like the Biden crime family and the Clinton crime family think they're untouchable. And I'm going to add the Bush family in too. There's something wrong with politics in Washington. And there's something extremely evil and broken about the politicians that are in politics. I know there's a lot of people now talking about civil war within this country, and there's people that are talking about stolen elections already, and people talking about blood in the streets, and I don't know if any of that's going to come about, because it seems that people have more bluster than they do really willpower to do anything. They talk a good talk, but they can't walk the walk. That seems to be pretty common. Not that I want to see any bloodshed or violence, because I don't. But I think that these people that are in this transgender movement and the leftists, the communists, the people that are destroying our country, I truly think they hate the rest of the country. I truly think they hate Republicans or conservatives. And I'm going to make a prediction that if there is a civil war, which I hope there's not, it's not going to be started by the right. It's going to be started by the left, blaming the right. But it's going to be the left that's going to go out and start shooting first. That's generally the way it happens. All throughout history, people that are on the left side of things are the agitators. They're the bullies. They're the ones that fire the first shots. They're the ones that build the biggest prisons and put people in gulags and take away people's rights. Everything that they claim that the other side is going to do, they're the ones that do it. And so getting back to this guy with all the bumper stickers, one of them said, "I'm with Darwin." And it had the Christian symbol of the fish. Of course, it had legs on it. And I think that if you believe in evolution, I think you also believe in Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy and Easter Bunny and any other fictitious character. But this person genuinely hated Jesus, and several of the bumper stickers were anti-Jesus. So you just have to feel sorry for people like that and pray for them. But I have a feeling this man, who is probably 65 years old, looked pretty set in his ways, and I think that's the way he wants it. And so he can just go be with his father for eternity. And a person like that would never second-guess themselves because they think that they're right and everyone else is wrong. So just got to let those kind of people go. Now, getting back to Rush Limbaugh, I really do miss Rush, and I remember the first time I heard him was back when he first syndicated, and I was a loyal listener for a long time. And I was roofing the house, and I wanted to get a weather report, so I brought a portable radio up on the roof and turned it on, and here was this voice I'd never heard before. The guy was funny, and he made sense, and I kind of liked him, and I thought he was local. And so I was talking to someone, and I said, "Huh, I never heard this guy before. They were lucky to hire him, to get him at the station." The other guy said, "Well, I think he might be from another town. I don't know." And the reason we were confused is before Rush Limbaugh, talk radio was limited to nighttime with Larry King and Jim Bohannon and all those guys. And it was never tried in the middle of the day before. And the middle of the day was always local programming, and so I instinctively thought it was local. Well, then I find out that it was nationally syndicated program, talk show. And he was such a refreshing voice, as opposed to the Larry Kings and Jim Bohannons of the world. And I listened to Art Bell back in those days, and Art Bell, along with Rush Limbaugh, between the two of them, they forced Larry King to go in retirement because Larry King, who I did not care for, I didn't like his show either, he seemed to be jealous of the success of both Art Bell and Rush Limbaugh, so he decided to retire. And to that I say good riddance, and I think Jim Bohannon might still be out there, but he kind of licks his finger and puts it in the wind, and whichever way the wind blows is kind of how he is for that show. And so I haven't listened to him much, except enough to know that he does that. And I don't listen to daytime talk radio anymore because, well, frankly, the people that are on there now aren't worth listening to, in my opinion. But I do miss Art Bell. I miss him very much, even though he was an odd man. I think he had a good show. It was very entertaining. And Rush Limbaugh, I think, was and will always be the master. And I know that Rush used to say, "Don't try this at home, folks. Leave it to the professionals." And as I sit here in my studio recording this, I hear those words ringing in my ears. "Don't do this at home, folks." As I sit here at home making a radio show, and I just kind of laugh because Rush is right. Leave it to the professionals. I do the best I can. I really do. But I do miss having the old pros around that we used to have. The people that actually knew how to think. That was so refreshing. Now everyone's just a talking head. And that brings me to Bob Bierman. That's one of the things that when I heard Bob Bierman the first time, I said to myself, wow. And God put it on my heart from the first minute I heard Bob Bierman that he was someone I really needed to listen to. And although his style is different, his delivery is different, to me, he has the same reassuring type of a voice that Paul Harvey had. And that's another radio personality I dearly miss, is Paul Harvey. And so I'm really extra glad that Bob Bierman is on the air. And I feel very honored that he allows me to speak to his great audience. That's very special to me. Well, I've kind of taken a break from the hard news on this show. Because you have to once in a while. I do know that things are getting out of hand more by the minute. And Vladimir Putin made a comment, and I don't have it down word for word, but the gist of it was is that he thought that the Congress and Senate must be playing video games in their spare time because that was their mentality. In other words, he was calling them irresponsible teenagers. And I've said for a long time that our so-called lawmakers act like petulant children. And I've longed for someone to become an adult, and so we can have an adult in the room. But we don't have an adult in the room. Regardless of what you think of Medvedev or Lavrov or Vladimir Putin, you do know that you have adults in the room when you're listening to the people from Russia. And this Zelensky, who I feel is illegitimate because his term expired in Ukraine, he's just like a petulant child. He came out and blamed the world for Ukraine's problems. And I really think that people need to take a good look at him and ask, how did he get all these billion-dollar estates? Where did they come from? From the money he's earned as being president of Ukraine? He's got so many places that he's going to go retire to that are all billionaires' mansions, that most of them are multi-million dollars, if not all of them. But yet, the naive Americans just sit back and support it. And I have a quick story showing you how naive Americans are. I went to the Tower of London, where they keep the crown jewels. Of course, I think they're replicas, but that's another story. And after you look at these priceless diamonds and jewels and gold, and I don't know how much money was in there, billions or trillions, I don't know. But at the end of the little tour, there's a bucket that's transparent. Has a little sign on it that says it costs money to upkeep this for you to see this, and any donations to keep this open to the public would be greatly appreciated. It said something to that effect. And there was quite a bit of money that was put inside this transparent bucket. And I looked at the money, and all of it were American bills. Every one of them. Tens, twenties, fives, ones. All American dollars. inside an exhibit to keep an exhibit clean and open and staffed, where the exhibit is worth trillions. And so we're walking past and looking at wealth that's beyond imagination. And at the end of that, they have a tip bucket, basically, and you throw a dollar in. Only an American would be naive enough to take their hard-earned money and give it to the British royal family when they are so rich that they couldn't possibly live long enough to spend all their money. They just couldn't. But yet here's Joe Blow, who saved and saved and saved to go over to London to go experience it. Trip of a lifetime. And they're giving their money to a family that's worth possibly trillions of dollars. I'm sure that the British people get a good laugh at that. Well, it looks like my time for this segment is over. I do appreciate you tuning in, and I appreciate Bob Bierman allowing me to speak to you today. So until next segment, everyone, stay safe, stay strong, keep positive, and never ever forget, replace fear with faith. Now back to Bob.
Well, I want to thank my friend Jim Calhoun for helping me out today here in the program, giving me a little bit of a break as I'm trying to do some recuperation and get just a little bit of rest. Your prayers are always appreciated. A couple of thoughts as we come to the close of today's program. A lot of people are putting a lot of stock here in the United States in particular into the November election. And I know a lot of people have been reading of what's going on in France, and maybe there's a swing to the right occurring in Europe. Who knows? I don't think so, really, in the long term. Maybe for some of the financial woes that they're experiencing for a brief period of time. But I don't see them giving up on many of their leftist ideals. For those that have this idea that we can just fix America, make everything just wonderful again by electing a person. And don't get me wrong, I will vote, and you can pretty much guess that I am voting to make America great again. I mean, I'm not ashamed to say that. But I don't look at my vote, I don't look at my politics, I don't look at a politician as my savior or my nation's savior. They are just representative, hopefully, of the things that I believe. And I've learned the hard way, like many of you have done too, that some of these people that run for state and even congressional offices are not who they claim to be. They talk a good game, and then you find out they're just more of the same kind of swamp creatures. America's got some serious issues that are not going to be fixed politically. If you think you can fix America's problems politically, you can't. America's problems are moral rot. And literally, as the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. When you look at some of the leaders and the things that come out of their mouth, there's no doubt in my mind, we are really fighting recycled paganism. The demons from hell are back. And they are walking in the halls of governments all over the world in leadership positions. Do you believe in this ministry? Would you keep us on shortwave? Remember, I don't get paid to do this program, but we do need to pay the airtime bill. Would you consider writing a check today to Ancient Word Radio? Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. By the way, you can also support us using Give, Send, Go from our website, which is Truth, the number 2, ponder.com, Truth, the numeral 2, ponder.com.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, Truth, the number 2, and the word ponder.com. That's Truth, the number 2, ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.